And you might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John, and in chapter 5. First John, chapter 5. And perhaps we can look to the Lord, our Father and God. We've opened your word. And here we are assembled again as we sing and think, God, and we're looking to you to help us think, help us to understand. And our Father will thank you for your word, Spirit of God, for your kindness. And here we are. So help us. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in a study of the first epistle of John, the main point, is to help us understand that God meant you and I, the believing heart, to really, truly enjoy God. That's what he wants, to enjoy God for real. And Christ died on the cross, and all the benefits that he made possible to know God are to be enjoyed. When are they to be enjoyed? The moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's when you believe. And those wonderful truths are to become ours. So we aren't waiting till I grow and know better. No, I'm all going to start. The little baby's going to enjoy diaper change and the bottle of milk. And it's going to enjoy pablum, whatever you call this stuff, and all the things that you do, inch by inch, to grow up every age, in every stage, to enjoy it. So when we came to know the Lord as our Savior, that is what is to be exercised, the exercise of life, our relationship to Almighty God. Now, and so therefore we share together the world system is what? It is caught up in darkness. And caught up in darkness, it hates light. What is, when you say darkness, that we can see, the sun shines, we have power, lights. What do you mean darkness? God is light. Our Lord Jesus Christ in John 8 says, I am the light of the world. God in Christ is left out. The world doesn't want to have any relationship to God in Christ. Thus, darkness. Darkness. The absence of God, the absence of life, the absence of light. Darkness. The world loves darkness. John 3 and 18. Now, having said that, and all the kingdoms of this world belong to the prince of the power of the air. They're his, as you know from Matthew in chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. He offers them all the kingdoms of the world. He offers to Christ, if Christ would just honor him. He couldn't offer them, and he's never rebuked. He is the God of this world. They are, all the kingdoms are under him, even where we are now. Now, having said that little bit, now what else do we want to keep in mind? Not only darkness. God wants us to be in the light. And we're to enjoy a relationship to God in a very personal way, in particular what we've been looking at in 1 John. And therefore, when I say that, we're to know him. Over to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. The Gospel of John and chapter 1. And you will note the world system. is in darkness and doesn't want to know him. And now you see it doesn't want to know him. That's us. Now the unsaved world didn't care at all. They were never looking for Christ coming. So John chapter 1 in verse 10. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So the world didn't care 2 cents about his being alive and well, being God's existence. And verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the Jewish people did know, should know, didn't know. They didn't know him. They wouldn't know him. They didn't want to know him. What's the issue? It is impossible in the mind of the Jew back then, in the mind of people, that Almighty God, in all of his awesome, awesome, awesomeness, could be in your heart. Being God. Here's our little old being. Here we are. The God. Actually, God. Who's all, has all, everything's there. Could really find a home in your heart. Ah, we love darkness rather than light. And the Jewish people who knew rejected that truth. They didn't want to know Deuteronomy chapter 5, etc. Now, hang on to that. Over to John, while you're here. John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 6. And the Gospel of John in chapter 6, picking up, if I may. And you'll recall. And this is in the discourse back and forth with the people, with the Jews. And in the picking up the mood and the movement. Chapter 6, verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him. Why? Because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? How on earth can he talk about such things? He doesn't know such things. He's just like us. Over to verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, can this man give us his flesh to eat? And they just didn't understand, and they couldn't understand, and he's trying to help them understand who he is. But they don't want to know who he is, actually. So therefore, we come to verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard, difficult saying. Who can hear it? Who can possibly hear these things and understand these things? And since we don't understand and we don't want to understand, think of Matthew 13 that you're doing on Wednesday. They had eyes to see, but they didn't see. Ears to hear, but they don't hear. A mind to understand, but they don't understand. They don't want to understand. So therefore, sliding down, what are you going to do? Chapter 6, over to 66. I'll read verse 65. And he said, therefore, 6:5, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They all disappeared. And what have we got left? We got the 12. Chapter 6, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Are you guys going to go away too? Everyone else walked away. You 12 are here, standing with me. Then Simon Peter answered and said him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We know who you are, but we don't understand who you are. But we know you're who you are, but we really don't know it in our heart deep enough. So therefore, Therefore, here they are going and looking back over to John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, and you recall, the Jewish people, the world, obviously, with Zeus and Mercury and all the gods, the Greek gods in the sky that they make up, all the gods, they don't expect those gods to be anything to us humans. They're up there, we're down here. The Jewish people who knew didn't want to ever, they understood a Messiah, the Christ, but they didn't want to ever think that they had to have that personal relationship. Think of the book of Exodus chapter 19. In chapter 19, God would made Israel to be his treasure, his prized treasure above all people of the world. And what did they say? Thank you, no. They said, God, you tell us what you want out of us and we'll do it. We'll do it, God. You do what you do, God. What you want us to do, we'll do it. A relationship? No. No, we don't have that. We didn't practice it. We don't have it. God, you're God, and we're us. Over to chapter 10 again, as we were. Picking up, if I can, verse 31. No, verse 30, to get the context. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed thee from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because, what did they understand? He had just said, verse 30, I and my Father are one. The end of verse 33, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man, makest thyself God. You make yourself God. That is totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. So the world loves darkness. The world system, God, you're very personal. Here we are in your presence. And the world system back then and now, we just don't want to know. We don't want to get that close. We don't want to even understand the possibility that you're that way, that close, in that most wonderful way. So, chapter 5. Back over to chapter 5. And you recall, just adding to it, because you need to understand why the problem is there. Because the human thought, human thinking, does not want to go and put that together. That God really made us for himself. And thus, and if we can, in chapter 5 and in verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself, what people could read this, what did he say? The Jews understood, making himself equal with God. If you're a son, then you must be the same as the Father. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The Son, God in Christ, in a most wonderful way. Chapter 14, just locking it in, and you know it. Chapter 14, and the Lord said it. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you had known me, you should have known my Father. I and my Father are one. Known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now we'll just put that, now keep going on it. Again, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? How are you going to do that, God? God, you're going to show us. That's right. Innermost, it's a unique oneness. You're to have a unique oneness. That's what it's going to be. That's what you need the day of Pentecost, etc., when you receive power from the Holy Ghost. Now, so that while you're here, just turn a page or two over to chapter 17 again. And in chapter 17 and verse 11, 17, 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, that's the disciples, and I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Why? What's the purpose? That they may be one as we are. Like us, Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, like us, verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Reason, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete, full, in one, that the world purpose to demonstrate oneness, oneness. God in Christ, and the world saw God in Christ and crucified him. God in the believing heart, that's what God's doing. I want to show my oneness. How can you show oneness unless I'm in you? How can you show God if he isn't in you? You have to have him as your Savior in a most wonderful way. And that's what God's trying to say. You have to have a unique relationship to show it. God in you, the hope of glory. Now, so therefore, in the light of all that, God's that unique oneness, we're to have that. And you read it in 2 Peter in your reading, that we're partakers, partners, we have in common, we're able to share his awesome deity in our finiteness, his infiniteness. We're able to have a relationship to God in Christ. We couldn't do it normally. Christ had to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He had to put on a human house because that's what he meant for Adam and Eve. But Adam sinned, and all of us down the road, like dominoes, fell, and we're all there. And we received the Lord as our Savior. And when we receive the Lord as our Savior in a most wonderful way, in God's way, we're brought more into the relationship that Adam and Eve were to enjoy, even more so, more than Adam and Eve. We have it. That unique relationship, it has to be for real. God in the believing heart. It has to be. Do you understand? It has to be. There's no way to show. There's no way to give evidence. There's no way to do it. You can't, well, go to church. That won't do it. All of these things, you have to have a relationship to God in Christ in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And you know in Corinthians, first over in Colossians, in that 1:27, the great mystery. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah. That's what it has to be. That's what being a Christian is. That's what it's all about. And for real, we're in the presence of God. And God's looking to do a work in your heart, in my heart. And so what do I do? Being in the presence of God and based on the word of God, based on the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who we receive as our Savior, God finds his home in my heart and your heart. And we find our home in his heart. A relationship, a real relationship called oneness. 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 For real. That's Christianity. That's being saved. That's for real. That's for real, real. And that's what God is trying to drive home in the first epistle of John. Do you know how real this is? And you have to exercise the reality. And I tell you that for all these, I said it 100 years ago. I still say it. That's the thing that we fight, because our humanness doesn't want to acknowledge that he's the boss. 1 Peter 3:15. Set apart the Lord God in your heart to be able to help show the world. John, 1 Peter 3:15. To show the world, let God find his home comfortably in your heart. And don't put him in the basement. No, he has the whole house. God does. To what? It's God's place. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God and in your body, which are God's. And that's why you know when Peter, over in 1 Corinthians, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and remember, sliding along the light of the contracts, here's the church in Corinth assembled together, and the people are going to come to church, they're not saved, and they don't know, and they see the people, and here they see the congregation of the Corinthians. And the conclusion, verse 24. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. In other words, the believers were just being believers, and when the believers were allowing God to be in their heart, then just like we read in John, John 5 and John 10, then you're saying you're God. You're saying God's in you. That's the same thing they said about the Lord. They couldn't have believed God could be in them, in Christ. God in Christ in you. You can't believe it. It is true. It's true. Yeah, it's true. And therefore God, here we are looking. And you're going to go, what? God, you're going to deal work in our head and in our heart. Chapter 14, verse 28, 25. Thus the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, this is the unsaved man, worship God, fall on his face, he will worship God and report his explanation of going to church, that God is in you of a truth. You're going to still going to say, what did you say when I went to church? God was there. God was in those guys. That's what it's about. We've said that. We say it to ourselves. We need to say it again and again, because it is such an awesome, awesome thing. Hang on to that. Can that really be? Can that really be? Yeah. Yeah. It really is. It really is. The world doesn't believe. That's true. But hey, it really is. It really is. How do you know it is? Well, Jesus, hang on. We know from 1 John, from being in there, going back there. And therefore, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, picking up, if I may, in the light of first, what we're doing, and here's God looking, and God has to do a wonderful work in our head and heart. And so, God, we're looking to you to help us in every way, to help us understand that we have a wonderful position in Christ, an awesome position. And God, you have done that in your most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, as we go forward, God in Christ, in you, the relationship to be understood. And so, And let me do it a little differently. If you were to read from Romans to 1 John, turn the pages, what is interesting, if you're looking at it, over and over again, this relationship. How was this relationship explained? I am in you. Now watch. Over to Ephesians. So as you turn the pages, like in Colossians 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here, just to see it, just to catch it, said, God, you can't read. Chapter 1, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1, 23. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. In Christ. Uh-huh. Verse 3. Blessed be the, verse 3. And I meant to read verse 1. Paul, an apostle, 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful. What? In Christ. That's where they are. Where are believers? In Christ. That's where they are. If I can, over to chapter 2. And in verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? How can we ever sit in heaven? In Christ Jesus. That's why you sit in heaven, because he does. That's why you sit there. It's no trick. He died. You have a unique oneness to him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, verse 13. Oh, I'll read verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh, near, by the blood of Christ in God's most wonderful way. Chapter 3, and verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promises in Christ by the gospel. In Christ. Verse 11. I'm trying to drive home a point. You can't read your New Testament without understanding. It's a simple banging home. It isn't about reaching out to the world. You won't read Romans. It isn't about reaching out. I got to be a witness to Hong Kong. No. No. It's to get you to understand from Romans on, Paul, the relationship. Learn to exercise and understand the relationship. That's what the epistles are about. In Christ. Over and over and over. That's what it's all about. To have a relationship. You can't be his witness, Acts 1:8, unless you have the relationship. I can't show the water without the glass. The glass needs to be full of water to see the water. The heart needs to be full of Christ to see him. That's what it has to be. Now, having said that little bit, chapter 3, and verse 11, etc., verse 11, according as to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, all of it, the whole business of our having heaven to be seated, to have all the benefits, to have the relationship, is in Christ. Because of Christ Jesus in your heart in a most wonderful way. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, to be able to have that unique, wonderful relationship to God that he gives and makes possible for you to have in a most wonderful, wonderful way. 1 John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, so therefore, you're getting the idea. There's no way. You don't hear it I'm going to give just a wild guess. I think the reason it doesn't, we don't understand, and across the world, from the churches, from the believers, that we don't, this should be a, the one thing. That's what it means to be saved. You've received Christ, God, in you. If you didn't, he that hath Son hath life. If you don't have God, you don't have any life. Simple as that. Simple. Or you can be religious up to here. Go wherever you want. It ain't going to make you saved. God makes you saved. Why are you saved? Because he's the Savior. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful will and God's wonderful way, and God's going to do what he does. So therefore, over to 1 John. 1 John, as you know, and you would recall, and in 1 John, watch it, just going to keep bang it back and forth till it locks in, because people don't want to, I start to say, in our world. You don't hear it because it's very hard in our relationship with God to understand the awesomeness of that relationship that God would give you and me himself. And that's his gift. The person of God is the gift of God. The gift of God is a person. Who gives the gift? And that's so hard. I know it is. All you gotta do is watch believers year after year, not only week after week. We do everything and we pray and we try to read, but we aren't conscious. That's the most wonderful thing. You're in his presence. Now, we're in his presence. Yeah, we are. And he has found his presence in our heart, in Christ. That's the most important thing. It isn't your heart beating. It isn't the breathing in or air. It's the reality that you have what? The gift of God, which is eternal life. An unspeakable gift. An unheard of gift. That God would find his home for real in your heart. And that's too hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to believe. Yeah, it is. It is. It is. You know, you shake your head. Yeah, it really is. Thank you. God, Spirit of God, has to help us. So therefore, Spirit of God, as we've been looking at 1 John, what is 1 John going to do? He's winding up and going to bang home with a sledgehammer. Bang it home to your heart. Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, remember we did verse 6, verse 7, verse 8. We did it. God is his own witness. Heaven bears witness that it's true. Earth bears witness that it's true. It points to what? Jesus Christ is God. And he's meant to find his home in your heart and in my heart, in our heart. And that's what it is. And that's heaven's witness. God said, my witness out of heaven, my witness on earth. As we did all these baptism, etc. John the Baptist for righteousness, his crucifixion, unquestioned. There's no question about it. God said, I did it. How public do you want it? You know he's crucified, yeah. Well, how public do you want that? But he rose again. Ah, that's very public, because we don't have his body. And that's a phenomena. We can't answer. Where are you, God? We can't find his body. So we make believe it didn't exist. That's all we can do, because we can't answer anything. We don't know what to do, God, with you. So we'll be religious and sing another hymn. See? And amen, go home till next week. See? No. No, that's not what it's about. Now, so therefore, verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. That's why I'm just trying to, we did all that. For reason, this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. God said, I'm telling you who he is. It's me in him. That's what God said. I'm in him. And you received him as your Savior. And I'm bearing witness that it's there. You back to verse 9 again. We receive the witness of men. And we believe all kinds of things. You read the newspaper, you hear the radio, you hear television, you read, you do things, you hear things, and you believe them. You believe them. The price of gas down the street at that gas station is $1.25 today. And you'd all hear that? Guess where your car is going? Because you heard it, you believe it. But don't. It's actually $10.50. Don't do it. Don't do that. I'm trying to help you understand. We believe people all the time, and we have no roots to it. Then why don't you believe God, who is so public, so clear, so plain? So therefore, we believe the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, because God gave his Son. Over to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews in chapter 1. And in Hebrews in chapter 1, picking up if I may, if I can. Chapter 1, Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times, various times, and divers manners, different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. But in these last days, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. John 1:1, and the Word became flesh, John 1:1, and Word was God, 1:1, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, God in the flesh, who being Christ, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God said, I'm pointing him out to you. He's my Son. He's a and you need to understand that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And thus, the Gospel of John chapter 12. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, picking up if I may. And you'll remember, I'm going to, in the context, verse 46. 12, John 12, 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me, should not abide in darkness, because you receive Christ as your Savior, he's the light of the world. If any man hear my words, the word that I speak unto you, and believe not, I judge him not. Why not? For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day. I put it in writing. You're reading it. God said, what's going to judge me? He said, I told you. I wrote it down. Here it is. He said, well, I'm reading it. You believe people. Believe what I said. Remember again, one Bible. If you want to know God, have any interest in God, it's in that Bible, I hope, in your hands. There is no other book on the face of the earth. There is no other theology. Nothing can replace God's word. And you have it in your hand. A gift God gives you to understand. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. John 6:63. Full of life. Like in Matthew, we're doing it on Wednesday. The seed of the sower finds good ground in your heart and will break into blossom in fullness when you give it a place. Let God be who he is. Therefore, 49 again, 12, 49. For I am not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment that I should what I should say and what I should speak. And now that his commandment is, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, I speak. I'm telling you what he said in a most wonderful way. Yea, in a most wonderful way. Now, sliding over, if I can, back over to 1 John. 1 John, and locking it in. God, you're trying to help us understand a truth that has to be understood. If I may. You understand? In the process. So God, help us. Now, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, God's going to go. Verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Verse 12. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. God said, I can't say it simpler than that. I'm trying to tell you this awesome truth. And it is awesome. It is awesome. It is awesome. Do you know, I don't have, make believe, you have to use your imagination. Make believe I had a thing. I had an atomic bomb, fusion bomb, hydrogen bomb. And I have it here, sitting here on the counter up here, sitting here. Would you understand that hydrogen bomb, it's just what it looks like, bomb. Do you realize the power that's in that bomb? If it were to be let loose, if we let loose that power, but we don't see any power, we don't feel any power, well, set it off and you'll know. Do you understand? God finds his home in your heart. And to realize God, the power of the bomb, the power of God, the gift of God. God said, I will be your God and your Savior. I am the power. Unlimited power to be unleashed. God, you're going to be who you are. You are going to be my life. Yeah. That's what I'm going to be. Now you're going to let me find it out. God, I got to find it out. Is it really possible that you've done that? Of all the things I could ever have or ever be, is to know you. And God, it isn't about what you give us. It's just to know you. It's just to know you. That's enough, God, to know you. You don't have to do anything. Just to know you, God. Wow. Get the idea? Yeah. That's why it's so strange. What we're doing again, reminding ourselves over repeatedly in different years, different ways, different times. I'm just trying to remind you, and that's what 1 John's about, to get you to understand a relationship that is out of this world. It doesn't belong in this world. It belongs in God. And God, are you going to give me? What are you going to give me? God, what are you going to give me? I need help. God said, I am your help. God, you can do all. I am. Like in Exodus. Who shall I say? Say that I am who I am. You tell Pharaoh, I am who I am. You tell him that, because I'll be whatever I need to be in your life. And remember, we did all this stuff years ago. We had a big thing. We had a chart up here and everything. And when we have the equation, all that stuff. And you fill in, I am to you. And you write in where you are. And what you need is, I am to you all you need. Matthew chapter 6. You have a heavenly Father that knoweth what you need before you ever ask him. So why don't you trust him? I gotta quit. Thank you for your patience. Our Father in God, deal with us in your kindness. Help us. Thank you very much for caring. God, we're trying to... God, help us. Yeah. Thank you. Spirit of God. Even so, come. In Christ's name, deal with each heart. And we'll thank you again and again. In Christ's name, amen.